Hi, this is Gadgeton, and I'm at Force North, Gothenburg 2026, with Eirik, who has graciously agreed for a tiny chat. Catching up with him now, and Eirik, might be best to maybe do a little introduction, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your motivation to give a talk here at Force North.
Yeah, I am in my late 40s, so I feel like I'm old enough to talk about some old stuff, which is the main inspiration for my talk. I have been dabbling in retro computing for a few years, so that is how I want to frame my talk about protecting, well, services from denial of service attacks from the internet. I'm going to talk about protecting an old BBS running on early 90s hardware and how that is not entirely dissimilar from protecting a very large production service doing transaction processing and stuff from a multi-hundred gigabit or even terabit level DDoS attacks on the real internet.
Awesome. So speaking of DDoS, have you found an effective way to sort of turn the tables around so that it costs the attacker more than it costs you?
I don't think it's possible to turn the tables to that extent. The only thing you can do is to try and make the cost higher than the potential payout for the attacker. Now at my work, we have a little bit atypical threat vector, because most companies who are being hit by DDoS attacks, they're hit either because the service is offending someone, or people are getting brownie points for doing it, or street cred or whatever in where they go. But usually it's to make money, and that usually comes in via stuff like ransom notes or that sort of thing. We're doing payment authentications at work, and if someone manages to shoot us down, it means there is no authentication happening, but the banks are so petrified of losing money that they will let the transactions through anyway. So we walk around with permanent, very large targets painted on our backs, because if you have a stack of cards and you want to abuse them, all you have to do is get the authenticator off the planet, and then you can abuse the cards as much as you want. So that is a fairly high hill to scale to make it too expensive for the attacker. But there are some ways. Sadly, some of them involve using external parties to help. But I think I managed to find a balance between using external parties but still being in control of the important and interesting parts of the infrastructure.
Thank you. For this project that you're working on with the BBS, I think you've used Lua inside Nginx, and I think you could have also gone with a different approach of rate limiting or external application firewalls, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong there, but what motivated you down that path?
To be frank, it was the only tool I found that I had any sort of idea about. There aren't a lot of Telnet proxies out there in the world. I, strictly speaking, haven't been able to find any. The challenge is to be able to accept a connection from the internet on Telnet and then interrogate the user in some way to make sure that you don't have your random Nmap scans just hitting your old 386, which will happily spend 10-15 seconds just getting ready to accept the connection, and then the Nmap scan has passed on and another one is taking its place. So after looking for other solutions, I realized, hey, Nginx can do simple TCP level forwarding. It has Lua, which I've been dabbling with for work. This is a fun little project, so let's see if I can make a telnet captcha in Lua. It turned out to be possible, at least.
Right. So while doing this, was there a point where you were like, this feels a little bit hacky, but this worked. It worked surprisingly well. Can you maybe tell us about that, or like any surprises that you encountered?
It would be a lie to say that it works very well. And being hacky is like par for the course for all this stuff that I'm doing with the old hardware. I'll say that it sort of confirmed my impression about the Lua, both the language and the integration with Nginx, that it is truly possible to do all these things, and it is incredibly efficient. If I go back to the how we use it at work, we can invoke Lua code 20,000 times a second, fairly significant code as well, and it hardly even registers on the load graphs, because the work we're saving by shaving off bad requests using Lua far outweighs the CPU time we would spend in the Lua code in the first place. So I'll just say it works, and personally, it's a nice way to hone my skills. It's a nice way to do fun things, not just work things, and still it feels relevant and it keeps me on my toes in a way.
Yeah. I was about to ask you about the performance under load while doing this, but I think you covered that pretty nicely. Are there like what kinds of attacks might still get through, even if it's that efficient and that's that performant?
Well, the problem is that behind the Nginx that I'm responsible for, there's always an application which I don't write. I didn't write it. And either way, if you manage to get requests through, if you manage to fabricate requests that fools the DDoS protections you have outside your network, and it fools your Nginx location filters, it fools your Lua code, and actually gets to the application, then you've sort of lost already, because then it won't take all that much to bring your site down. Perhaps the biggest threat that remains for us is that for most of the evaluation we do, we need to still understand what your request is, so we still need to do a TLS handshake, and that is extremely expensive. And you have cryptographic accelerators and stuff out there, but they mostly deal with symmetric crypto, not asymmetric, so that is a very real limitation. And that's why one of the really dirty tricks I've been doing is to use a trick that I first saw mentioned back in the late 90s in a Slashdot article, I think, where they stuck everything from session tokens to calculator expressions in the host names in a request to a server. And by doing that, I can stick like a session token in the request, and I can inspect that before I even do the TLS handshake and do stuff like rate limiting or whatever it might be. And that gives you at least a tenfold increase in how many requests you can handle and drop on the floor before you run out of resources, like, you know, network piping and that sort of thing.
So at what point do you go, all right, this is not going to scale anymore, and we need to maybe scale our infrastructure instead of trying to get the script to be more efficient, or
to be a little bit cynical, if the problem becomes so large that we can no longer, you know, work around this with the tools at our disposal, then the only solution is to give the TLS handshake away to an external party, and that is very much goes against every grain in my body. I don't think people would like that if they knew it was going on. So maybe if the ratio between useful traffic and garbage traffic suddenly is like 5-6 orders of magnitude, then I'm not sure I find this job fun anymore. So I might just pass the problem on to someone else, to be honest.
Great. So, ultimately, we evolve from our learnings, and I'm also, I'd like to believe that this project also taught you a lot of things, exposing this retro BBS to the internet. And then do you want to talk about what did you learn, and maybe what you would do differently next time?
Well, let's see if there's a next time. But I have learned that Telnet is a mess. The Telnet protocol is an absolute nightmare. One day before I die, I might even try to implement better support for the actual Telnet protocol in Lua. But I've given it a couple of tries, and I'm not sure I'm up to it. But if anyone else out there wants to help out, I'm more than happy to listen. If I want to do this again, I may want to do this in a different way, where I offload more of the handshake process to a proxy, and then I set up, you know, instead of just forwarding packets, I can, you know, translate the requests differently. And of course, one day I want to stick something like this in front of a voice over IP or an LTE modem or something like that, so people can dial in the old-fashioned way. It wasn't the way it was meant to be. Well, that's a different story.
This was fun, Eirik. Thank you very much for the chat, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference as well.
Will do. Thank you very much.